You know, today after service, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's table together as a church. I look forward to that. But first, I want us to really know and understand what is the purpose of Christmas. Because if you just see the pretty packages and the lights and the fun and the music and food and festivities, but you don't get the purpose and the meaning of Christmas, you've missed it. You've missed it all. When Jesus was born, there was a group of shepherds out in the field tending their flocks of sheep. An angel came to them and said three basic statements. From these three statements, I want us to discover the purpose of Christmas. Take a look at Luke chapter 2 with me. The book of Luke chapter 2, verse 8. When Jesus was born, in verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this good news. But Lord, I believe we must acknowledge, we must know, we must remember the purpose of your sending Jesus down to earth. Lord, I also believe that none of us are here this morning by accident, that you have something for us to hear, that you want to speak to us. And so I pray right now that each one in this place, all of us together, would open our hearts, open our minds, and say, "God, you speak to us. You change my heart. I give you complete freedom and permission to do the work inside that you need to do." Lord, I pray that anyone here who has not received Jesus as their own Lord and as their Savior, that today would be that day for them. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And the church says, the first purpose we just read, the angel came and said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The first purpose of Christmas, therefore, I'm saying, is a celebration. It's a celebration. It is a party. I bring you good news of great joy. It's a fantastic time. The angels came and they couldn't help but just start praising the Lord and shouting and singing and the excitement that prevailed because of the birth of Christ. In a couple of few weeks is my wife's birthday. And I won't say which number she is, but I will tell you it's a big one. All right? I mean, it's not a high number, but it's an important one. It's going to be a special day. And I want it to be a special day for her. And so I want to make it an event. I want to have a party. I want to do something for her. I want to invite people over. But wouldn't it be interesting to have this big party, a big even surprise party, do something spectacular for my wife's birthday, and I don't invite her to it? Would that be kind of funny? Would that be kind of odd? Would that be kind of typical? What would it be? It would be strange, wouldn't it? It'd also be sad. You do this big bash for Jennifer, but you don't even invite the guest of honor to the party. But at this time of year, listen, at this time of year, all over the place, there's parties happening. And so many times they leave the guest of honor out of the party altogether. It's a sad thing. Why do we do that? We were out shopping the other day, and Jennifer tells me she was walking by the pub, by the bar. She didn't walk through the bar, okay? I want to make things clear here. You guys are good. She didn't walk through the bar. She walked by the bar and she said there were so many people. It was so crowded. And she saw fist fights happening out in front. She saw a couple of the security guards walk this guy out to the back parking lot and cast him out. This is celebrating Christmas, people. We're partying and celebrating Christmas, but we're leaving the guests of honor out. Talk to people and ask them what they're celebrating this year. You'll get all kinds of answers. Maybe some will say we're celebrating the blessings that we've had in our family. Maybe some will just say we're celebrating the Christmas spirit. Whatever that is, the Christmas spirit is whatever anybody wants it to be. Celebrating just being home, celebrating family. Some will just say, I'm not celebrating anything. I just want to try to get through the Christmas season. But the bottom line is Christmas is a celebration. We're supposed to celebrate, but sometimes we're too busy preparing, planning, buying things, getting ready that we don't really have time to celebrate. We lose the joy of what the moment is about. So why do we celebrate? What do we have to celebrate? Let me give you a few things that we celebrate. Number one is this, that God loves us. Is that a reason to celebrate? Amen. That's a reason to celebrate. You know God loves you? You know God cares about you? Nobody in the world cares more for you than God does. The Bible tells us that God loves you so much, He knows every detail about you. God says, I know the hairs that are on your head. I have them all counted and numbered. I don't want to get into bald jokes, but let's just say some people, it's easier for God than others. And as much as I love my wife, I don't know how many hairs she has, but God knows. Because He loves you that much more. God loves you. That's a reason to celebrate. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, says, For God so what? Loved the world. And I thought you guys had great memories. I forgot it's overhead, all right? That He gave His own one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's how much God loves you. Christmas is saying, is God saying to you, I love you. God made the entire universe and this planet and everything that we have on it because He loves you. God loves you, and that is the reason that you're alive today, because He loves you. And He keeps things in motion because He loves you. And He made you because He loves you, and He has a purpose for you. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God still loves you. Does anyone here deserve God's love? Nobody? Of course not. I don't deserve God's love. But He loves you. And His love is based on Him and who He is. The Bible says God is love. Not that He has love, but He is love. He is the very essence of love. He is the definition of love. And it's based on that. It's not based on you. It's not based on how good you are or how lovely you are, on your performance. So God loves us. That's why we celebrate. Another reason we celebrate is God is with us. God is with you. You may not always feel like it, but it has nothing to do with your feelings. The fact is, God is here all the time. When Jesus was born, His name was Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God is with you. God sent Jesus because He wanted us to know that He is with us. He experienced everything just like we did. He understands. He wants you to know that He is with you. Many of you perhaps come from some difficult backgrounds and have experienced people leaving, abandoning you. And for that I am very sorry. But I do want you to know that God never leaves you. God is always there. He loves you. This is a reason to celebrate. Another reason to celebrate. God is for you. So He's with you, but He's also for you. We just read John 3:16, but what does John 3:17 say? Into the world? Not to condemn the world. Okay, good. Let's read that together. Read it with me out loud. Okay, ready? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. This is what it means. God is with you. God is on your side. He's on your team. He loves you. He's rooting for you. Why are so many people afraid of God? Why do people fear God? A lot of times I believe it's guilt in their lives. There's guilt that is at work because of sin, because of things that have happened. And guilt will separate you from God. Sin separates us from God. The Bible says that all have sinned. And so there is this thing of separation. But the Bible here says that the reason Jesus came into the world wasn't for judgment and condemnation, but to save it. He came to save it. He came to save you. I want you to know that God isn't here just to tell you just how rotten you are. And some of you are rotten. He didn't come just to tell you that you're a sinner and He's just going to punish you. He came to say, yes, there is a problem, but I came to give you the answer. I came to give you the solution. He came to save us. That's why, by the way, every time the angel came, the angel usually started with, don't be afraid. People see an angel, the first thing, and I would understand, is they're terrified. They're afraid. And people are often afraid of God, but one of the first things He wants to say to you is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of Me. Come to Me. Jesus said, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. This Christmas season, God saying, come to Me. I want to give you rest. Have you come to Him? Have you come to God? Have you received that rest? So the first purpose of Christmas is celebration. The second one is this: salvation. Luke 2:11. This is the second thing the angel mentioned. He said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A what has been born to you? A Savior. Let me give you a little note here. God would never do something if it was not needed. God wouldn't have sent a Savior to us if a Savior was not needed. Amen? He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have gone through all that trouble, all that pain, all the heartache of sending His own Son on earth, on a sinful earth, mind you, left heaven to come to a sinful earth, to live in a sinful world, to be misunderstood, mistreated, and be nailed to a cross. He wouldn't have gone through all that trouble if we did not need a Savior. But what does it mean to be saved? People say He was saved. What does that mean? To many people, to be saved means to be like saved from drowning in the ocean, and they saved Him. They saved Him. I remember a long time ago, Gretchen was about 3 years old, and we went out on a trip. I forget the exact place, but it was at one of the glowworm caves. And we were getting ready to go on this tour with a tour guide through the glowworm caves. And all of a sudden, and Gretchen was our only child at the time, and all of a sudden, Mom, Jennifer asked, where's Gretchen? And we didn't know. And we just happened to look around, and across the parking lot, across the car park, we see a little hillside like this, and we see two little legs kind of lift up in the air and go tumbling down the hill. And all of a sudden, Jennifer panics and she runs over there and I run after her and we get over to the edge and there's a good couple few meters down this hill. And at the bottom of the hill is a stream about this deep. And we see Gretchen in the water. This was winter time. It was pretty cold. And she's laying in the water and then she starts sinking and her face starts going underwater and Jennifer's just, get her! Save her! We had to save her. So we jumped down in the water and we grab her. She was fine, a little cold, a little upset and crying, but she was fine. What did we do? We saved her. She needed salvation. She needed salvation. She needed a Savior. And the Bible says, God says, you need a Savior. And so the angel said unto you, this day is born a Savior. You need a Savior. Maybe you didn't know it. And many people in the world don't know it. They're out celebrating Christmas. And they don't know that what they needed was this Savior. You need a Savior. You need to be saved. What do you need to be saved from? You need to be saved from something. When we talk about salvation, we need to be saved from something. I believe we need to be saved for something as well. And we need to be saved by something. What do we need to be saved from? You need to be saved from yourself, your sin, your past. You need to be saved from sin. That sin is what separates you from your God. Sin destroys. Sin brings problems. God says you've sinned, and He cannot have sin in heaven because heaven is a perfect place. You're not perfect, so therefore you cannot be in heaven with Him. Sorry, bad news. But that's the news. So therefore, you need to be saved from sin. Christ came to give you that salvation. God sent a Savior. You need to be saved for something though as well. And God made you for a purpose and for a reason. He designed you just the way you are for a reason. Your personality, your features, where you were born, your country of birth, wherever you're from, God knew where you would be born. And He made you just so. But He made you for a purpose. Now, what are you living for today? What are you living for today? You can live for yourself. And you can live for money. You can live for prestige. You can even be noble and live for other people. And that's a good thing. But if you're not living out the purpose and the reason that God made you, you're missing it. You're missing it. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And He wants to save you so that you can live that purpose and that plan He has for you. But first you need His salvation. The third thing, we need to be saved by something, and that is by grace. By grace. Only God's grace. That means that we can't earn it. We can't earn it. Going to church doesn't bring you salvation. Doing good things doesn't bring you salvation. Getting baptized. We have a baptism up here under the stage. I love baptisms, especially when the water's almost warm. I love baptisms. But it doesn't save you. I want you to know that. Baptism does not save anyone. You're saved by grace, by God's grace. And He says, I want you to trust Me now. All I want you to do is to trust Me. Receive My grace. We're saved from sin. That's what it means. That's what Jesus' name means. Jesus simply means to save people from sin. Matthew 1, verse 21. The angel says, Mike read this morning, she will give birth to a son. You are to give Him the name Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from their sins. So what is sin? Have you sinned? Raise your hand if you've sinned. Everybody better raise their hands. Sorry, guys. The bad news is you're all sinners. You're all a bunch of ratbags and sinners. We're all in that boat together. I was also born a sinner, just like you. Some of us are better sinners than others. Some of us are good sinners. Some are really, really bad sinners. But God still says you're all sinners. You're all in need of salvation. So what does it mean to sin? Sin is an attitude. It's an attitude. It's not just something that we do. It's an attitude. It's the attitude that starts with I. I want to run my own life. I want to do things my way. I know what's better for my life than You do, God. Therefore, You do Your thing. I'm going to do my thing. This is sin. And every problem that we face in life is a result of sin. It's sin in our lives. Sin causes confusion. Sin causes guilt. It causes shame. It causes regret. It causes bitterness. It causes anxiety. It causes grudges and worry and fear. Sin brings all these burdens into our life. And God sent us a Savior to save us from these things. Ask the average person today what they need to be saved from. What would you hear? You ask your neighbor, what is it that you need to be saved from the most? Many people at this time might say, my bills. I need salvation from all my bills that I have for Christmas. Some would say, I need to be saved from some of the effects of old age. You ever notice how things don't stay the same? Things just don't stay the same, do they? I need to be saved from school. The kids and young people might say, what is it that you need to be saved from? Are you looking for salvation in the wrong places? Let me tell you something. If you're looking for salvation in the wrong places, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be frustrated. Often people play the if-only game. And I want to tell you something. That's a form of looking for some kind of salvation. If only. If only. Some people would say, man, if only I could get married and find just the right partner, right spouse, then I'd have it made. If only I could do that. And then you find that partner, you find that spouse, you get married, and then you start saying, oh, if only I was single, then I would really be able to live again. And then you play the other if only. It's always something. If only I could have kids, then I would find true happiness. And you have kids and you say, why did I do that? And then you say, if only I can graduate, if only I could get the next promotion, if only I can get this job, this raise, this house. And people live their lives in this mode. And they're looking for salvation in the wrong places. And it's frustrating, and it brings frustration. It doesn't bring fulfillment. It's frustrating. The second purpose that Christ came for, the second purpose we celebrate Christmas, is because of that salvation. So I ask you, have you received that salvation? Have you ever had a time where you came to God and said, God, thank you for that gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending a Savior for me. Thank you for paying for my sin and wanting to restore that relationship between me and you. Have you ever done that? Many, many of you have, but maybe some of you have not. Maybe you've been looking for salvation in the wrong places. Maybe even you've been coming to church thinking that that is good enough. I want to tell you that that will not save you. That will not bring salvation. Salvation comes through faith. God's mercy. We're saved by grace through faith. You need to be saved today. The third purpose, though, is this one called reconciliation. In verse 14 of Luke 2, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. On earth peace to men. Let there be peace on earth. Let there be goodwill toward men. This is what is called reconciliation. What is reconciliation? It's when a relationship's been broken, there's been a problem, but then they come back together once again. A husband and wife go through a difficulty, they separate, but then they are reconciled. They come back together again. Sometimes reconciliation comes from a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter, or friends reconcile. You know what it means to reconcile. Christ came to reconcile us to God. He came to restore peace once again. Peace. Where do you need peace in your life this Christmas? Where do you need peace? I want to tell you something. The world longs for peace. We long for peace, global peace. I don't know if there's ever been a single time when there's been no wars going on. I don't know of a single time. The world longs for peace, but there will never be peace in the world until there is peace in nations, national peace. There will never be nations at peace until within the nations there are communities that have peace. There will never be communities at peace until there is peace in the families, in the communities. And guess what? There will never be peace in the families until there is peace in the individuals within the families. And there will never be peace in the individuals until they allow the Prince of Peace to rule in their hearts. Until they allow that Prince of Peace into their lives, into His rightful place in their lives. What kind of peace does Jesus bring us at Christmas? I'm going to suggest three things. One is He brings peace with God. Peace with God. The Bible tells us that we have been put right with God through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God? Jesus came. The reason we have Christmas, Jesus came to bring us peace with God. If you don't have this peace, you better, because one day you will face Him and you need to make peace with God. How much time do you have? How much time do you have on earth? I don't know. You don't know. And I've seen many people pass off into eternity long before what you would think they were due for. Everyone would say they're far too young. You don't know. You need to make peace with God. How do you do it? You don't do it by promising to be good. You don't do it by trying to be perfect, because you can't. You can't. You don't do it by saying, I'm going to stop sinning from today on. No more sins in this life. No way. You can't do that. You need to make peace with God through receiving the gift that is Jesus Christ. Receiving what He came to do. To pay for your sin. My sin. Next, first of all, you need the peace with God. But second, you need the peace of God in your life. The peace of God. This is what you need for your everyday life, for everyday living. Things change when God comes and reigns in your life. He changes us from the inside. And suddenly you start to realize you're not the same person that you used to be. You're not the same man that you used to be, the same husband. Or better yet, your wife starts realizing, this is not the same man. This is much better. This is not the same woman I married. Things begin to change in your life because you have the peace of God working in your life. You're more patient. Things don't perhaps get to you the way they used to. And when you have peace of God in your life, you start making peace with other people. And that leads us to the third thing. That is, it involves making peace with other people. Making peace with other people. Do I have a battery issue? We're about done. Battery in hand. I know he's just not wanting to get a closer look. Christmas is a perfect time to be reconciled not only with God, but with other people too. Are there people in your life that you've had a broken relationship with? This is the time to be reconciled. Do you have a relationship with God? This is the time to be reconciled with God. Again, don't miss the simple purpose of Christmas. No matter how beautiful it may be, how lovely it is, the wonderful sounds, the wonderful sights, the wonderful tastes, if you miss the simple purpose of Christmas, you've missed it all. Christmas is so that God can gather men unto Himself. God can gather you to Him. And if in all your busyness you're not spending some time with God, you're missing the point of Christmas. you're missing the point of Christmas. I don't believe you're here by accident this morning. I don't believe you are. We have a lot of people away. I see that. But some of you are here, and many of you are visiting. Maybe you've never been here before. But I don't believe that anybody is here by an accident today. God had brought you because He had an appointment with you. And maybe you don't know it, but He did. And He's calling you to be reconciled with Him. Have you received that gift of Jesus Christ? You can today, and I would urge you to receive that gift. Christmas is about giving gifts, but God was the first giver. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His Son. Have you received that gift? Let's stand together. The funny thing about a gift is it involves the giver giving, but it also involves the person to reach out and receive that gift. I can hand out a gift to you and you can say, no, thank you, I don't want that. And you can turn away my gift. It's still a gift, but you've turned it away. So it is with Jesus Christ. God gave us this gift. He loved the world so much that He gave. But we know all the world is not saved. All the world does not love Him. All the world is not forgiven. Why wasn't Jesus Christ able to save the whole world? Yes, He was. But we can also turn away the gift and say, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. We can reject the gift. How about you? Would you like the peace with God and the peace of God working in your life? Would you like peace with God this year? You can. But you need to take the first steps to come to Him. He's already extended an offer out to you. He's extended a hand to you. And He says, come. And you need to be willing to take the hand and say, thank you, God. I will. With everybody's eye closed and head bowed, I just want to ask, is there anyone in this place this morning, before we go on to our next part of taking the Lord's Supper, before we're finished, I want to ask, do you have a relationship with Him? The Lord's table is for people who are saved, born again, baptized believers. Do you have that relationship with Him? Would you like to receive Him today? You can, and I'd like to lead you in a prayer of receiving Him as your Savior. But it has to come from you. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor, would you? I want to receive Christ today. I want to pray. I want to ask God to be my Savior. I want to receive Him. I want the peace. I want peace with God. I want the peace of God in my life. I want that. I'm ready to receive that this morning. I want to receive the gift of Jesus Christ in my life. Would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. I want to receive that gift today. Slip your hand up. I'll lead us in a prayer in just a moment. Would you slip that hand up? If you say, I'm here, I want to receive the gift of Jesus Christ in my life. Is there someone? There's someone. Would you like to receive that gift? Christian, I urge you then. Believers, I urge you to not get too bogged down with all the happenings and the trappings and miss the purpose. Jesus Christ came so that God can again be united with His love, His creation. He loves you. He's passionately in love with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the gift of Jesus Christ. I thank You for loving us, Lord, and may we celebrate this year not as the world celebrates, but Lord, celebrate with a peace in our lives that passes all understanding. Lord, thank you for the salvation that it brings. Thank you for the reconciliation that we have because of the gift of Christ. I pray now as we partake of the Lord's table, Lord, that we would do so with a greater appreciation of why Jesus Christ came. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I also want to just pray for anyone who hasn't received the gift. Lord, that they wouldn't leave this place, this building, without coming to someone and saying, you know, I want to receive that gift today. I didn't raise my hand, but God's speaking to me. I know it. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you in Jesus' name.